There's been a lot of press lately about the problems facing honeybees in the United States. And as WMUK correspondent and farmer Joan Donaldson reports, we're losing a lot more than just a few jars of honey.
Yesterday, my brother-in-law called and wanted to know why his small fruit trees had not set little peaches or apples. Their blossoms had not suffered any frost, and he had fertilized his trees. "What am I doing wrong?" he asked. "Make friends with a beekeeper," I suggested. Despite the media's outpouring of articles about colony collapse disorder and about how pesticides are killing off bees, visitors to my organic blueberry farm often have not connected the dots between bees and fruit. When I tell people that we rent hives, they ask, "How do you rent beehives?" Sometime in January, my husband John calls his beekeeper friend Dan Christensen and checks to make sure that Dan will be able to provide about 150 hives during blueberry blossom time. Dan takes his bees to Florida for the winter, where instead of huddling in a cold hive buried under the snow, the bees can continue to fly while pollinating orange blossoms. But even in Florida, he often loses a third of his hives to mites or colony collapse disorder. Come spring, Dan and his bees migrate north, and they begin working in various fruit orchards before visiting my blueberry bog. A few days before bushes bloom, John shows Dan the places where he should unload his pallets that each hold 6 hives. Beehives need to be near water and should be sheltered from prevailing winds. Because bees must travel during the night when they are tucked in their hives, Dan's loaded flatbed rumbles in either near midnight or just before dawn. He dons his bee garb, rolls off his small forklift, and distributes the pallets. Without those precious honeybees, my blueberry bushes would not set a good crop of fruit. A few wild pollinators still exist on the farm, such as bumblebees that cheerfully work in any kind of weather, but over the past 40 years, we have seen a decline in wild honeybees. During blossom time, we pray for mild, sunny days so that the bees will leave the hives and work. If the day is too hot, they must fan their hives in order to cool it and maintain the correct temperature. If the weather is cold and rainy, they stay inside and the blossoms are not pollinated. During the 3 weeks that his hives live in the bog, Dan will check on his bees to ensure that they are all right. Our friend Ann Sharkey also keeps a hive on our farm for the summer because she knows her bees will be safe from pesticides. Like Dan, she routinely takes a peek inside, looking for mites or other problems.
So there's a lot of brood in there. Looks like several drone cells, so that concerns me a little bit. Hopefully they're not thinking of swarming.
If the colony of bees expands enough to crowd their home, then she needs to add supers. Those are the boxes filled with frames and sheets of wax foundation where the bees live and make honey. But even with the proper care and enough room, bees will sometimes swarm, and then we will find a large cone-shaped mass of bees hanging from a tree branch. Because our son used to keep bees, we reach for one of his empty hives and place it near the swarm, hoping that the bees will decide to move into the box. After the blueberry blossoms fall, Dan returns with his flatbed and loads up his hives. While making breakfast, I hear his truck roll out my driveway as he hauls his bees to spend their summer in nearby pickle fields. Later in the fall, after Dan has extracted honey, he will drop off a quart of liquid gold with the fragrance of blueberry blossoms. Although it costs thousands of dollars to rent hives, John and I know that our farm needs these industrious pollinators in order to produce a crop and sustain our livelihood. For WMUK, I'm Joan Donaldson.